This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time, and we do really count it our privilege to have you follow along. And again, we want to thank those of you that have taken time to write us and let us know that you listen to the broadcast, and some of the very, very nice things that you have said, that you're praying for us. And, oh, we just covered that so much because, you know, there are many people that God maybe financially can never help, but all their prayers are precious. And you can just almost just feel it that you have people praying for you and so forth. And we've had some write and wonder if they can help with financing the broadcast. And, of course, you can. Anything that is sent to help pay the radio bill each week is used exclusively for the radio time. It does not go for anything else or that, used exclusively for that. So if God should ever lay it upon your heart, we just really appreciate that very, very much. And because we're always current on the radio time as far as paying the bills for the time and that, and that is a good testimony for us to the radio station there, and a wonderful radio station KLGR is. It really is, along with many other fine radio stations. But we thank you so much for considering us and doing that if you're able financially to do it. As we go on now here with John the Baptist, we want to continue here and get on into a little bit here, further into his life here and what he did. We find out that after preaching here for quite some time, then he was put into prison. We know that. So we're coming over here to Matthew chapter 11 now, and let's begin to look at it over here. We find out here in Matthew chapter 11, let's begin here in verses 1 to 14. And it came to pass here when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples that he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison, he's in prison now, we find out the works of Christ that he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see, and tell them about the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then we find out in verse 7, As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now Christ tells about him. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Well, was John a man that was easily swayed? Or was he a man with convictions? And as we know, John was a man with convictions. He could not be swayed. He preached what he knew to be true, and he preached the Word of God. And he was the forerunner of Christ and told them, you know, I'm just John the Baptist. I must decrease, but Christ must increase. Are you one of the prophets and so forth? Are you Christ? He said, absolutely not. I'm not him. His shoes, I'm not even worthy to tie the shoe straps to. I'm not there. And then Christ said to him, What went you out for to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Did you go out to see some celebrity? Enjoying fame and luxury? Did you go out to see that? Or a servant willing to suffer for Christ? And that's what a person is in the position today, whether it's a Christian, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, a deacon, an elder, whatever it might be. You're in that same position. But when Christ spoke of this and spoke of John the Baptist, well, he spoke of a man who had convictions. No, he wasn't a reed shaken with the wind. When the storms came and the persecution came, John stood. and he knew what he stood for, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what every pastor ought to do. We have some of these puffball pastors, I call them, that every way the wind blows, they go just in order to keep their church and please the people, and are not convicted enough if they're even saved themselves. There are many preachers who are not saved. They do not believe the Bible is true, and we have them in this area around here. They really do not believe the Bible's true. When you pin them down, you can't. It's hard to pin them down. What do you believe about Adam and Eve? Are they real people? I had one preacher I asked him, I said, do you believe Adam was Adam and Eve was Eve? He said, well, symbolical. I said, symbolical of what? What's the symbolic? Well, he didn't know what symbolical of, but it was just symbolical. I said, well, what it really means, you do not believe the Bible, do you? Well, he didn't want to talk. It wasn't time to talk. No. The reason he didn't want to talk was he's afraid I'd tell somebody or who was a member of his church that your preacher don't even believe the Bible. Well, he don't want that to happen because he'd lose these parsees and everything else. They believe he believes the Bible. But in reality, he doesn't. Doesn't believe it at all. He's just another one of the phony preachers behind the pulpit with a lucrative salary, a parsonage to live in, and he is a man that will go the way the wind blows just in order to appease the people and keep his job. We have many of those today. Thank God for those like John the Baptist. A reed shaken in the wind? Absolutely not. Here's where my feet are planted. There's no question about it. When I first came to Walnut Grove, I came here and I thought, you know, I'm going to start, there is no ifs, ands, or buts, I'm going to start right out, when we're on the radio here, in church, this is exactly what I believe, and we don't waver from it from one minute. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ, and he is the only way. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, and you're trusting your water baptism, you're not saved. If you're trusting your church membership, you're not saved. You're trusting belonging to a denomination, you're not saved. And only God can forgive your sins. Only Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, we're told in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. It's not your preacher. So you can go to your preacher and confess all you want. He can't even forgive his own sins. And I've often wondered this. You know, I've had people come and tell me, they say, you know, well, I'm going to my preacher and I've got to go to confession and confess. And I said to him, I remember saying this one lady, I said, well, while you're there, ask your preacher who he confesses to, will you? Oh, well, it totally shocked her. I said, well, your preacher's a sinner. Your preacher's not perfect. Well, it absolutely. I mean, that just turned her off right now. She has in her mind, and through the church she goes to, by confessing her sins, that this preacher is God. That's why she looks at him. God's representative, but actually just a God. I mean, this man couldn't sin. Well, we find in the Bible, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But let's get back to John the Baptist here, because he was not a man that could be shaken. He had convictions, and he preached the Bible. And if you have a preacher today that stands behind that pulpit and said, "Thus saith the Lord," you have a gem among gems today, because you don't find many of them, I'll tell you that, compared to all the preachers now. And then he goes on, verse 8. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Do you out to see a celebrity? And what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, they knew that if they knew the Scriptures, but they didn't know the Scriptures. Because it was prophesied in Isaiah and Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. But I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, what do you mean? Why did Christ put that in there? Because he's trying to illustrate to them, these were the big shots. There were big shots in the organization. In other words, because you're the mayor, because you're the governor, because you're the president of the United States, you're the czar of Russia, or you're the queen or king of England, there's no preference whatsoever. You can have all that royalty, you can have all of that power, all of that pomp and circumstance and so forth, and yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than anything you'll ever be on this earth. Anything. So many times, you know, a person will want to climb the ladder in their local town, you know, and what they don't realize is when you get to the top, there's nothing there. As far as God's concerned, nothing there. Waste all of your time to get some top position and influence and so forth socially now. Now, we've got to have mayors, we know that. And we've got to have governors, we know that. And we've got to have president, we know that. And we vote for them, I do. and so forth. We're not criticizing that. It's when the person who has the position, is this is all they're living for. I mean, this is it. They have achieved the ultimate by being in some big shot position. Now, I'm not saying that derogatory, because we have mayors who are never consider themselves as big shots. I mean, they're good, fine people, and want to do the job very sincerely and so forth. I'm talking about a person who has the position puffed up in their mind like this is, they have arrived. Well, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than what you'll ever be here upon the earth. That's the point Christ is trying to make. For all the prophets up until the law prophesied up until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Now, he that hath ears, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It shall be likened unto the children, sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows. Other words, just a sort of lap hazard society. Just let's just talk about things, sit around, and saying, we have piped unto you, we have not danced, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, ye have not lamented, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. That's what the lost today in this social society that we're in today, where everything goes. I mean, heaven help the preacher that preaches against adultery. Heaven help the preacher that preaches against drinking. Heaven help the preachers that preach against preachers drinking. We have a lot of them. No conviction anymore. John the Baptist wasn't that kind of man. He had convictions, and he preached his convictions because it was the Word of God that gave him his convictions. And he thought it was better to serve the Lord, who he'll stand before, than some little peon in town or some other person who would try to intimidate him. John the Baptist couldn't be intimidated. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. This is Christ. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of the publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. So they called Christ a friend of publicans and sinners. In other words, they called Christ a sinner. You know what? Your liberal churches today and your people today would put Jesus Christ outside of town on a Calvary and crucify him when he said to them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Can you imagine Jesus Christ in the pulpit of a liberal church today where that preacher had been up there the Sunday before and said, you got to baptize your little babies. And Jesus Christ comes in and rebukes the whole mess and says, that's not true. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the one who gave my life on the cross, and nothing you can do will ever merit you eternal life. Nothing. Not by works of righteousness which we've done according to his mercy has he saved us. That's interesting, isn't it? They would take, as they did John the Baptist, put him into prison. They would take Jesus Christ, put him out as a false prophet, and they would crucify him right today. Even though they mention his name, as Matthew chapter 7, many shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done many wonderful works? And Christ said to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You are soaking and basking in your own self-righteousness, and you want nothing to do with me. You want to use me as an excuse. You want to use me as a front for being religious. You want to mention my name sometimes in church, but you're telling that water baptism now is going to get you to heaven and put you into the body of Christ when I'm the one that died on the cross to pay for the sins, not your water, not your preacher, and not your church. I'm the one. But you only use my name, but you're really lying to the people and saying your baptism is what puts you into the body of Christ. No. 1 Corinthians, by the power of the Holy Spirit and instruction of the Holy Spirit, said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. That is spiritual baptism. We find out also, when John the Baptist was telling about Christ, he shall baptize you with fire. He absolutely will. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He, Christ, will do that. It is Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that he puts it in you. When you believe on him, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit and places you into the spiritual body of Christ. It has nothing to do with water baptism whatsoever. For by one Spirit, it is Christ the baptizer, through the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, putting it in you, putting you into the body of Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ, by the Spirit, not the water. Not the water. Your liberal churches would crucify Jesus Christ today because they have a form of godliness but no power thereof. That's what the Word of God says. No power thereof. Why? Because your water baptism doesn't have the power to get you to heaven. Because your church membership doesn't have the power to get you to heaven. Because belonging to a certain denomination does not have the power to get you to heaven. You can be a Baptist all your life and die in split hell wide open. Being a Baptist will not have the power to get you to heaven. Being a Catholic does not have a power to get you to heaven. Nor a Luther, nor a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, or Unity, or Theosophy, or whatever denomination you want. No denomination has the power to get you to heaven. Only the Word of God. Only the Word of God. That's what is pure. Now we come on down and begin to see something else about John the Baptist because he's now put into prison. Now, let's go back here, if you will with me here, let's go back here to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6. The very next Gospel here, Matthew, Mark in chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up here in verse 17 to 27. Now we come down here to verse 17 in Mark chapter 6, John the Baptist now. He's in a bad way. For Herod himself has sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison, and Herodias, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. We find out that's actually Philip the First. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Oh, my gracious sakes alive. Did John the Baptist, here he stands before the king, Herod here, and tells him, Herod Antipas, and tells him, as, oh boy, you're not to take your brother's wife. What are you doing? It's even prohibited under the law in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16. You're not to take your brother's wife. That's against the laws of God for you to do that. Oh, man alive. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John. Now, he stopped her from killing John right then. Boy, you talk about a woman. They say a man gets mad and a woman gets even. Well, there's some truth to that, I suppose. A man gets mad and a woman gets even. But not all women now. I'm just joking. But anyway, Herodias wanted to kill him right then and get rid of him. But Herod had feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So he was impressed. Oh, Herod Antipas was impressed with John. But the man had a jellyfish backbone. He had no principles whatsoever. And then we come on down, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to the lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter, that's Salome, of the said Herodias, came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee, even to half of the kingdom. Well, he wasn't a very smart guy, would he? I mean, why would you give unto your wife's daughter half of the kingdom just because she danced in front of you? He must have had some kind of problem there or something, and she might have put on one of these sexy dances or something, or whatever it might be. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to give half of your kingdom unto your wife's daughter, you're not really thinking straight, I don't think. And she went forth and said unto her mother, she said, Mom, said, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist, right back to the mom again, right back to the wife, who was living in adultery, should not have married her husband's brother, should not have done that. But the point we want to make is, look what John the Baptist said. John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. What do you think about preachers that get up in the pulpit and say, you know what? It's not lawful for you to commit adultery. It's not lawful for you to set up to the bars and make goggle eyes and tell all of your problems because you're not getting along with your husband or you're not getting along with your wife and you have another person sitting there. She is in the same dilemma that you're in, so you now have two shoulders to cry on. You can have sympathy for each other, and one thing, you should be home trying to work your problems out if you were the kind of woman that you should be, and you're the kind of man you should be. He shouldn't be sitting at the bar crying on some other woman's shoulder and her crying on your shoulder. You both have the same problems, but now both of you understand, and pretty soon, since you listen to each other's problems, you become soulmates. Oh, you're just knit together. What it means is you're less than a woman and you're less than a man, and you know what? You should go home and work your own problems out. If John the Baptist ever walked in and said, "What in the world are you doing? I think you have a wife at home. I think you have a husband at home. What are you doing sitting up here?" Then pretty soon they want to express their love. They commit adultery and so forth, and everything's in a mess. What about the children? What about the home? There the home is destroyed, isn't it? Surely is. You know, there was I'd like to get this in before our time's gone here. But anyway, it was written by a Columbine high school student. Here's what he wrote. "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less, and we buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. And we've split the atom, but not our prejudice. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We've become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of tall men and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace, but domestic warfare, more leisure, but less fun. More kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce, of fancier houses, but broken homes. It is a time when there is much in the show window, but nothing in the stock room. The days were when we knew that God was the creator of mankind and the earth on which we live. Now we are brainwashed into believing that we don't know where we come from, nor why we are here, nor where we're going. Yes, we're really evolving all right up the ladder, aren't we? Even the animals don't kill their babies." Well, that shows one teenager sure got the thinking cap on, hasn't he? Sure shows he understands some of the things in the world that he lives in, doesn't it? But you know, it's an amazing thing as we come down here to John the Baptist, because he truly was a man with convictions. He truly, if he were to be in your pulpit today, of your liberal churches today, they would run him out and call him a heretic. Yes, the time has come when we do not endure sound doctrine. But you know, it's an amazing thing for the preachers today, and the preachers are supposed to be the leaders of the church. And I find more preachers drinking than I could ever imagine. In fact, when I was a young boy, that was one of the things that turned me off. I remember my grandfather, who I loved very, very dearly. I was on the police department at that time, the same town where he lived, and I tried for a long time to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Granddaddy didn't want anything to do with it, didn't want to hear about it, and didn't want anything to do with it whatsoever. And Grandma was taking care of him. He had had a stroke, and he was pretty much bedfast, and I would stop down on the lunch hour and go in and visit with him. I just loved him to pieces. He was always so, he was a grandfather of grandfathers. And one day, I said, "Granddaddy," I said, "tell me, why in the world, why don't you accept Jesus Christ? He loved you, he died for you, and I want you to be in heaven. I'm going to heaven. And I can't stand not to think about you not being there, Grandpa." And the first time, after all the years, he told me, he said, "You know, Max, I'll tell you." He said, "I was taken to church when I was a youngster. I was about 13 or 14, and I went to church to a revival. The preacher was up there preaching and so forth." He said the next day, He said, you know what? We went to another town shopping, and my mother and dad took me there. And he said, guess who I seen come out of the bar drunk? It was the preacher who had preached the night before. He said, I would never trust another preacher again. Well, I'll tell you, we're in a society today when anything goes. You truly, I was talking to a college professor, and I'd mentioned the word about the New Age movement. He said, our school doesn't know anything about it. What he doesn't know is the fact, even they may not know the name New Age movement, but it sure is practiced by the philosophy and the practice of the kids, not all but some. And that's what's taken over. Do anything. Do what's right in your own eyes and so forth. And you know what? They had, and this happened some time back, there was a school that passed out a thing against drunk drivers and so on and so forth. And I was going to fill it out. And I got thinking, why should I fill it out? Why don't they go after the preachers that drink? You know, that's where it starts. These men are supposed to be the leaders of the community. Now, if you're going to have me fill out something that I'm against drunk drivers, which I am, well, let's start with the leaders of our congregations that drink. I mean, why are we bypassing them when they're supposed to be the example? I've never seen such hypocrisy in my life. That's how blinded people are to the grassroots of the leaders who are supposed to be the non-drinkers, you see. But nevertheless, we're in the last days. The Bible tells us this in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, that's your lust of drinking, your lust of women, your lust of pride, your lust of a parsonage, your filthy lucre, the lust of a position, whatever it might be. It tells us that they shall heap upon themselves teachers having itching ears, but then it will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What do you mean? I'm going to go to a church that's not going to convict me, and I can live in my sin. I don't need to hear this blood of Jesus Christ. After all, put a little water, sprinkle a little water over my head and tell me I'm all right and I'm going to heaven and I'm fine. That's what I want to hear. But don't tell me I have to change my mind and trust Jesus Christ and that blood religion. That's why blood is taken out of a lot of your songbooks today. You'll find it missing in a lot of places. I thank God we still have the songbooks that have the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood. And that's what takes us to heaven, you see. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They make jokes and laugh about the truth of the Bible. Try to intimidate every Bible preacher they can, and when in reality, it's unbelievable if they'd only look around real fast and see some people laughing at them. There are even unbelievers that believe the Bible. Now, they haven't been told the way to go to heaven, but they have enough sense to know there is a God, there is a Bible. I thank God for this much, that somebody told me when I was a young lad of 23 years old that God loved me and Christ died for me and I received Him, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. That's the reason we bring these messages, is for you to trust Christ and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And don't let some drunk and some big mouth laugh you into hell by intimidating you and keeping you from trusting Christ as your Savior. They're the fool. You don't want to follow a fool. You want to be wise and trust Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining with us. It's been a privilege to have you follow along. I'd like to have you write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we always keep looking up and ever praying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Maranatha.